Thank you for the introduction, and good morning to everyone. Let me, oh, there is no mouse other than this. Okay.
Right here. Try the down arrow.
Yeah, do that.
There.
All right. The current impetus for the increased awareness and interest in growing cover crops, a fair amount is probably coming from this USDA NRCS push or promotion of soil quality and health, as well as cost sharing for cover crops, etc. There's also been multiple seed companies that are focusing on supplying cover crop seed. In terms of seed marketing, demand and supply, we're seeing a lot of that going on. And surveys done with growers in terms of asking them questions about their perceptions of soil health, one that I saw, number one, soil organic matter. As a soil scientist, we say, yep, soil organic matter, important. But notice crop appearance. I like how that one was stated. They want a good-looking crop. Erosion, of course, earthworms, they want earthworms, drainage, tillage, etc. Surface soil structure, pH, soil tests. They view soil tests as part of soil health, soil quality. And number 10 in that survey came in crop yield. Of course, they want to be productive. That's their goal. Our traditional soil qualities from a soil science standpoint has been some physical properties such as bulk density, pore space, pore size distribution, etc. Of course, organic matter, soil testing, etc. Some of the options that we have for improving soil quality and health, one of them that everybody's pretty familiar with is reducing tillage. You know, we're switching to no-tillage. It doesn't have to be strict no-tillage, but resulting increase in organic matter, improving structure, earthworms, soil conservation, etc. Another option we have for, say, addressing soil organic matter options would be adding manure, compost, etc. We can increase the organic matter, nutrients, structurability, things of that nature. Feed microbes, encourage earthworms, etc. Another option is using cover crops. And, of course, cost a little bit of money, so does the manure cost a little bit of money. But some of the same benefits. Of course, if you use a legume cover crop, you get the added benefit of the biological nitrogen fixation. So, with an underlying theme of improving sustainable management of our resources, and this isn't just organic. I've got some fertilizer rates in here too, but we need to improve sustainable management of our inorganic fertilizers as well. So that was some of the impetus for this study. And so we looked at some of this mono and biculture cover cropping and with and without fall applied poultry litter. Because in our state, we're number 5 in broiler production. We have a lot of poultry litter around. Some of our growers, due to timeliness and such, they want to apply it in the fall. But they generally ascribe 0 nitrogen credit by springtime, which that's usually the biggest nutrient in it. There's a fair amount of phosphate in it too. So we wanted to look at how the cover crops affect that. And then we are in a strip-till situation here and going to look at nitrogen cycling, a little bit about soil quality and health as well. One thing I want to point out about this study is you can go to the literature and you saw the long-term no-till from Kentucky. I spent 4 years, so I know those plots. I sampled those plots. But when you look at cover crop studies and no-till studies, more often than not, they are on well-drained upland soils, okay? We've got a lot of bottom land. We have Mississippi Delta, over 5 million acres just in Mississippi, and that's our main agriculture growing area of the state. So there at Starkville, where I'm at, Mississippi State, we have alluvial soils there too. So I've put this on alluvial soils and trying to help find strategies that growers in the Delta could also adopt also. So the majority of the field was a Marietta fine sandy loam, a moderately well-drained soil, and it varies into a leaper, which is a silty clay loam, and a little bit slower infiltration, permeability, etc. Right. But we did account for the soils in the experimental design with the randomized complete plot. All right. I know there's a lot up on this slide here, but basically we plant cover crops in the fall. We started out, first year we wanted to do a mix of crimson clover and vetch, and for the years up until 2016 we did strictly vetch. And so then we had hairy vetch, we had rye, and then we had a combination of rye and the legume. So you'll seem to use the word, or abbreviated, just legume rye. So it's mostly vetch. But we did have a root rot problem on these alluvial soils, having a couple wet winters, really Phytophthora root rot and vetch, which I've never seen before, but pretty much took it out. And I'll show you that in 2016. So I switched to Persian clover in 2016, the fall 2016, for 2017. Because Persian clover is one of the few that legumes that you can find that is highly productive but adapted for silty clay loam soils. We do poultry litter in the fall after the cover crop's been planted, about third week of November, about 1 ton per acre. We didn't want to put on excessive nitrogen. We didn't want to put on excessive phosphate. You can see to the upper right there, this is a 3-3-3, basically, organic fertilizer. So that's 60-60-60 in the fall. The non-litter plots, we were trying to account for the P and K, so we did put commercial fertilizer on non-litter plots. We harvested the cover crops for dry matter, total in content, all that good stuff. Terminating around April 1st. We don't want to plant corn late. We want to plant corn on time. We are strip tilling around mid-April. Corn planted about 32,000 kernels per acre. We do have plots that are winter fallow, no cover crop, and we have nitrogen rates up to 224 kilograms N per hectare to make a comparison with our, basically you could call organic type treatments. Some of the soil sampling and tests we've done, the enzyme analysis, the fluorescein diacetate, we did it at planting in about every 2 weeks for about a month. We've done bulk density using a hydraulic probe, total carbon and nitrogen analysis, of course post-corn harvest, etc. We took these samples at various steps. So the upper left, you can see a fairly good crop of hairy vetch. Upper right is straight up rye. No fertilizer added, no poultry litter. Lower left is where you've got these biculture type of treatment. You've got the rye plus the legume. The lower right is an example of a nice crop of Persian clover. I really like it. All right, let me see if... on the upper left, you can see the strip till implement. It's doing about a quarter of the row it's disturbing. So you can see that in the winter fallow upper right where there's no cover crops used, the lower left, hairy vetch tilled, and then the rye on the lower right. So the results I'm going to present to you today, in this order, we're going to talk about cover crop N, effects of poultry litter, effects of cover crops, etc. Microbial activity, using the FDA assay, show you some bulk density, total N, corn N content, as well as grain N yield. So that'll be the order that I cover this. And there we go, finally popped up the pointer. Now I can go through a lot of data. This is a 5-year study. It's been and still going on, but this was the fifth year of it. What you do notice, of course, with the legume, you're going to find, and this is averaged over poultry litter treatments with and without. So overall, of course, the legume treatment averaged the highest nitrogen at 65 over the 5 years. Notice in 2016, the legume actually had the lowest nitrogen. That's because the vetch died. So we had very little to harvest there. So, you know, keep that in mind. That is a risk of cover cropping sometimes, is the loss of it. And the rye averaged over, you know, that year actually had a higher end than the legume. But generally, the legume has the highest nitrogen. The legume rye is next, and then the rye alone the lowest. And you can see with poultry litter, cover crop N content averaged about 12 kilograms of N per hectare, where the cover crop was present. So kind of keep that in mind, because I'll show you, if we don't put a cover crop there, we basically don't have anything left. All right? With the microbial activity, we have more data than I'm showing you here, but this is the most recent from this past year, and it's only for, it's a 0 to 5 centimeter depth here, but basically the open symbols is within the row, which is disturbed. And the closed symbols, the black symbols, is the inner row. So basically, I've got conventional till and no-till in the same plots. All right. So we sample them. We sample them separately. So overall, if the legume is combined with poultry litter, we're seeing the highest microbial activity, especially early in the season. We didn't get significant results at the 2 week and the 1 month, but you're still seeing on average a trend for it, but we did get significantly different results at the beginning. But notice that there's separation between the black symbols and the open circle. What that is the black symbols is the inner row. That's basically no-till. So you got no-till versus conventional till. You got higher activity, enzyme activity, where the soil is undisturbed. All right, a lot of data here, 0 to 5 centimeters for soil bulk density. Overall, what we're seeing is that if we combine poultry litter with the cover crop, we're seeing the lowest, we're tending towards the lowest bulk densities in the row. In the inner row, it's showing somewhat of a trend, but just not as clear as we'd like to see, and it's only been, 5 years. So understand cover crops are not magic. In terms of reducing bulk density and things of that nature, sometimes it takes time. In terms of total land content, similar, we're seeing the highest total land content where we have the, especially with the legumes, and when we combine the legume with the rye and the poultry litter at the bottom, the lower left, we're getting the highest total land content. Same thing in the inner row where we combine the cover crop with the poultry litter. And compared to fertilized treatments, which are the upper five, the cover crops are showing greater total N. And I'm not presenting the carbon data, but the carbon data goes right along with this. We're getting more organic matter in that system. So corn N content, since time is limited, I'll stay to the average on the right-hand column there. What's interesting in this study that I really didn't expect is that when we put the legume, this is a low-end system, we've got no fertilizer on these plots. So when the legume is combined with fall applied poultry litter, it's been, I don't want to say phenomenal, but there's been a synergism there, and the legume is actually responding more than the rye in terms of total land uptake. We're getting 92 kilograms per hectare average in the legume poultry litter versus 74. You can see the rye at 46, rye with poultry litter 53, so that was only about an increase of 7 kilograms M per hectare. And the legume rye poultry litter is in between. But notice winter fallow down on the bottom. We harvest the winter fallow weeds, the chickweed, the henbit, et cetera. And putting poultry litter on weeds doesn't do much. Okay, we actually are not seeing the nitrogen from the litter. What we have here is we compare the grain yield to our end response curve that are in those plots. And one thing you notice, the legume across the years has always been positive with a average close to about 39, legume plus poultry litter jumped to 78. All right, poultry litter, rye alone has always been negative. So understand, a rye alone is not going to do much for you, prevent erosion, things of that nature, but in terms of nitrogen, it's actually a negative. Even with rye with poultry litter, it ended up on average being a negative. Then the legume rye combination cover crop and with poultry litter were in between the others. And notice the winter fallow started out negative, 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 and then started to become a positive as far as fertilizer and equivalents with just putting fall applied poultry litter on. So not much going on there. Okay, I'm going to jump to the conclusions here. This is just a graph of how we determine that. All right, and this shows that the let's go right here. Okay, so in summary, poultry litter increased uncounted legume cover crops more than rye. Cover crops increased enzyme microbial activity greater than the poultry litter. We are seeing some decreases in bulk density. Legume cover crops plus poultry litter had the greatest effect on corn and content and greater and grain yield. All right. Down at the bottom, if you want to look at the first 3 years of the study, it has been published more from the grain yield and the fertilizer and equivalents just recently in Agronomy Journal. Thank you. Assume I'm out of time.
Thank you very much.